on some work with all the winters and we just part this week. And the general idea of this work is to look at the asymptotic class practice metric in the space with a uniquely coupled master scale review. In other words, this is sort of the setting in which all the variation by entropy and so on principles. So here's the outline of my talk. This is some introductory remarks first. Discussion of the classical theory, quantization, and some kinematic result, singularity avoidance, and comments, and so on, future work. And also work in progress. Okay, so as I mentioned, the sort of minimal setting if you want to study everything about black holes is the spherical symmetric asymptotically flat gravity scale review in superspace. We will look at it in metric variables or connecting drive variables. That's sort of the setting which hopefully with the full quantization can answer all the questions we have. Now, a relevant remark concerning the series superspace is that we sort of want to determine what a black hole is in the quantum theory. So outside the series superspace is a box in which you sort of freeze the horizon classically and the boundary conditions there. And the general idea here is that we don't want to do that. What we want to do is that the theory tells us using some criteria how to do that. So in this context, I want to bear in mind in this mini superspace or any of the boxes inside it, a lesson from Sukhar Ryan that the mini superspace quantization is not always valid, but they did quantize mini superspace into inside another mini superspace in two different ways, the mini space case versus the rock on the big mini superspace and found two equivalents. So in that context, it's good to bear in mind that any of the boxes inside here in a big box takes the whole thing. Would probably have to face the same criticisms. Another comment is that the model, as I just mentioned, is pretty rich. It's got black holes, boson stars, dynamical collapse, pretty long set of black hole formation, with subtropic scaling, and so on. And ideally, if you have a full quantization of the system, then in addition to solving black hole puzzles, we should be able to identify classes of common spaces corresponding to correspond to the topic scaling in a subcritical initial wave functions, critical ones, and supercritical ones, and then follow their evolution through. So this is sort of the setting and the kind of questions one can ask, which is a very big set of questions. So what we do is sort of sum out in this transparency. So what we'd like to do is not to be a wick where we have some linear mini superspace constructed out of purity and priority, and very trivial quantization, which is we have Q represented as an operator and pi represented as an operator. So what we'd like to do is over this new quantization, which means we work with dynamical variables to the extent we can, and use the quantization motivated by all the work in blue quantum gravity. And the essence of that is we'd like to find representations that the Q is represented as an operator, but on the universe space pi does not exist, rather it exists in some sort of exponentiated form. So that's sort of the setting, and as we heard earlier today, this kind of old variables blue quantization in the context of many superspaces has been applied to cosmology. And in the talk this morning, which is what Stefan Wies and Oliver Winkler gave me the power spectrum in cosmology, FR in cosmology. And one of the things is that this quantization is also used by Modesto to do the integrated fractal, which is technically cosmology itself. So let me now say a bit more about the classical theory. We want to find a parameterization of the strictly symmetric classical class system adapted to find a way of Husserl coordinates. This was like these coordinates, and there's also been a recent revival of these coordinates with work of people like Luzek, who looked at that reaction, and work with Ted Jacobson, and they're following lattices and all that to these coordinates. And the main advantage of this kind of parameterization is that we are not seeing with the horizon. Now, the other feature, this is sort of common knowledge, is that people constitute the flat, as you can see, and all mass information is contained in the smooth curvature, and the smooth curvature diverges at r equals 0. So what we'd like to do is motivate all conditions for asymptotic flatness using unlimited Wolfram coordinates rather than the traditional Schwarzschild coordinates, which is what's normally being used. So that all conditions we get on human being and higher being are different. And finally, the formulas we get for masses, BMF, observables, etc., are all going to be different because of all conditions are different. So that's what we're setting. And what I'm going to do now is give an explicit parameterization of Q gradient phi v, which reduces this down to a number of field variables. So the way the procedure works is a really standard one, going back to the 17th, which is the gradient decomposition is already being done in a sense. So what we do is step one of finding a medium in this first space is choose a parameterization for Q gradient phi v. We choose this one, which looks a little awkward right now, but as you see, it gives a nice green snapshot. So the metric is got two functions, lambda and r, both depend on r and t. Phi of v is got the momentum conjugate for lambda, the momentum conjugate for r, and these other factors. All these other factors are rigged up such that when you plug this into the ADM action, which is right there, you get out the extraction in which lambda, p lambda, r, p r by p phi, which is the scalar field, are generally conjugate, and thus those are the constraint terms and surface terms and so on. So the next step in the standard terms procedure is we want to get all the conditions in p, r, r, etc., which are induced, and also on the lapse and radial part of the shift, which are induced from the unrelated Wolfram prototype follow-up. And finally, we want to ensure that the actions of applying a function immutable, so we have to go through the motions of checking function differentiability, making surface terms, and so on. So after completing these four steps, we basically have complete specification of the classical model. It's a much more field theory. So I have two first class constraints, and a moment constraint, and a radial field constraint, and the nonlinear variables you can figure out from up here are r, pr, lambda, q, lambda, phi, p, phi. And you can compare this, these entire series of steps with some recent work on structural coordinates by Carlo Pikash, in which he did essentially all these steps, but using structural coordinates as a motivation for the follow-up. So now the compensation summarizes the compensation procedure. The basic idea is that we're going to look at, I'm just using R and PR as an example, the other three variables operating the same way, aspect, etc. means we have R, smear with F, as a possible observable, e to the r lambda p r as a possible observable. I have this person on the bracket. This 2d is essentially a function of this bracket structure. And now the quantization, this is sort of a heuristic description, and the details are down here. We essentially took this procedure from Thomas and So the way it works is you can find states which are three sequences of points taken from R, which are x1, x2, x3, and so on. That's one sequence. Another sequence for corresponding is B, the other sequence corresponding is C. These values A are the values of the field of R at those x points. Similarly, values in B, values in 3 lambda, at this selected set of points, and C, same thing for 5. So we have these space points all on the line, outline of the field. Now, the definitions of the operators are essentially a generalization of what happens for this point particle. We have R acting on these states, so if it's just R indices the A1 and the K, pulls them out of the length scale, which has to do with, which actually exists in prime length squared, has to do with the dimensions that we've chosen, and the R has dimensions of length, it's included with the dimension of R squared, so it's T squared. So R comes along, the function F picks up the function XK, pulls out the field values KK, gives the state that. The exponentiated P essentially does translations. P doesn't exist as an operator, it's just exponentiated from exists. And when it acts on these states, it just shifts, picks up the point L, shifts the field value of, so this should be dr actually, and shifts the field value of L by lambda L, which is. And this definition of the operator essentially is a representation of these Poisson brackets there. And essentially, the 2G and the Poisson bracket, the L's are combined to be a process of delivering the operator that wasn't new, commutators, the Poisson bracket, first instance. So that's it. Essentially, the field operator is sample points, and that gives us the quantization for the new piece. So the next thing to do is ask what one does with similarity avoidance here. So classically, we know that if we are looking at the gauge, looking at this model and the gauge R, big R equals R, which we're not here, all curves should go like 1 over R. Also, this capital R squared, the way it appears in the metric, multiplies by omega squared, so it's really a measure of areas of spheres in the parameterization we've chosen. So the question is there a 1 over R kind of operator a la Pima? Or equivalently, an inverse A operator, because that's really the same thing as far as this direction is concerned. So, again, when starts off looking for a possible identity, there it is, the relevant one that we want to use. We have 1 over R, which is again R is near to this function F, and this is just the usual kind of sort of human identity. As far as these function F that we see in here, we look at Fs which are sort of 1, the origin, and so asymptotically, go to 0, never actually get there, as asymptotics. And then to see what the action of this operator is, let's consider, for example, all in state A0. Now, suppressed here, the other two fields in the C1 list, which correspond to the function lambda in the metric and the function phi in the metric, and in particular, are restricted the A's to just a single A. With the property that means R acts on this A, we can pick out F of 0, A0, and gives the cycle value of A0. So essentially, all that's going on here is this very simple action of R on an extremely simple state where there are no expectations, it's called a single expectation over. So as it says, as I said here, it represents an expectation of A0 would be R at R equals 0. So, we can, since we have exponentiated E's, R's, and as operators, and how we use this app to find this. And it's evident from this that when E0 is equal to 0, that means AR is 0, which means area is 0. 1 of R is in fact bounded by R. And that's the sort of main thematic result that I'm going to talk about for the purpose of the talk today. Okay, so let me just give some comments and outlook, spend a bit of time talking about what we want to do with this. First is that we have got thematic limit space for slight symmetric asymptotic applied gravity scalar model. One of our operator exists in bounded above, and this is really inverse radius small squares bounded above. Or equivalently, one can say that when the area on the state matches the inverse area is bounded above. And this is something that one might look for in full theory and do quantum gravity as well, although we can do this kind of thing. I'm sure it's possible to talk about it. Now, as far as open questions, many of them, and so we're working on some of these. The first is that the key to understanding all the black hole puzzles, like the entropy problem, radiation, blah, 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 is to solve the Hamiltonian, look at the catching the Hamiltonian constraint on the thematic space and see what one can say. And this is a work in progress with Ben Carroll and Oliver. The second is, since this new superspace is large enough that we have black hole and other stuff going on, for example, the scalar is going in and scattering back out, no black hole formation, we want to ask, can the theory tell us whether or not a state is a black hole state? And so one would look for something like this. There's a question mark there because there's no answer yet. The apparent horizon condition is, in fact, a free space. So this classically it's a function of q and pi with parameters. And so we can ask, can we convert it to an operator and ask, is there a condition like this which can be defined versus this can be defined, and are those states satisfied, this kind of thing. So this is something also in progress. Finally, a few other things. Black hole entropy is set up to provide a way of understanding black hole entropy completely. And copy radiation information loss, as I mentioned, can be unknown constraint in a fraction, whether it's ungated or some other way. And finally, one last comment. This concerns the free space case versus Dirac. If we were to take this sector and classically, the H fixed R equals R, then the possible singularity gets frozen into place. And if it's frozen into place, no matter what you do with quantization, you can't make it go away. So, this is saying that if we lack singularity always in the quantum theory, we can't fix the H like this. So, a comment concerning this is that there's a quantization of the gravity models in which the same thing takes place with the time gauge fixing. If you make that time gauge fixing and ask, is the singularity of the gravity model avoided? The answer is no, because time gauge fixing throws it into place. On the other hand, if you leave that to the feed variable and do that quantization, then there's a possibility that it will avoid it as well. So, that's it.
So you are asking the question whether the state is operated or rather it's one inverse can be fully bounded in the good way. So I think in order to express one order the area, it has operator, one has to use the order of operator. The other one has to use some kind of type operator. And as we learned yesterday from the Hamiltonian model, has answered this question and the answer is no. The operator is not bound to the So one of the reasons for all of this.
This class we use to find a very good group. How do you do this next?
Ah, okay, so that's another class that is going to come out explicitly in service rendered that is about. And the service rendered will make some security, but it's not going to be that. So that's another cadence of those who can come out of this, including these equals.
Probably in front of this, there are a class of heuristic proposals about singularity avoidance of Rob Ramenberger and string cosmology people and so forth, in which they hypothesize that there's a maximum curvature. In some sense, you're demonstrating their assumption. Is that right?
I know from me, but this is interesting.
How do you?
Flush.